encourage you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you did not bring a Bible, first of all, if you do not own a Bible, we want to give you one as a gift from Five Forks Baptist to you. All that we ask of you is that you read it and allow God to speak to you through it. So if you don't have a Bible, see me after the service. We'd love to give you a copy of God's Word. But if you just didn't bring one, or maybe you have a smartphone or tablet, follow the link that's in your bulletin to some digital notes for this, and it'll have this passage and various other things in there. But Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, is where we're going to pick up this text reading. And here's what God's Word has to say. The writer of the book of Hebrews, who is, by the way, unknown to us, there are some people who speculate it's Paul, there are some people who speculate it's Luke. I personally believe that it's a guy by the name of Barnabas. There are different people who believe different things about it, but I think that it was Philo who said, only God knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. But in verse 19, we find this writer saying, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he has opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Now stop right there for just a minute. As we looked at verses 19 through 21, what you see is a lot of temple imagery. The writer of the book of Hebrews, and we know that this particular person was a Jew, he says, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary, he's talking about the holiest of all, that place where the priests could only enter, and only the high priest could enter, and only he could enter one day a year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where he would go in and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat to cover the sins of the people for one more year. He says, we have boldness to enter right into the very holiest place. It was in that place where the Shekinah is a Hebrew word for presence, where the presence, the visible, awe-inspiring presence of God would come and would rest and would dwell with his people. And the writer of Hebrews says, we have boldness to walk right into the presence of God by a new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain. That curtain was a very thick curtain that separated the holy place from the holiest of all, or what's called the Holy of Holies. It was made out of 9 different fabrics that were sewn together so that it was a barrier that stood between sinful man and holy God. But what's the writer saying? He says, something has taken place. A new and living way. Not a dead sacrifice, but a new and living sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. He has opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And then he says, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, because Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you and for me, now what are we supposed to do? You're going to see 3 different let us passages right here. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now that God's spoken to us through reading his word, let's speak with him in prayer. Father, again, we prayed at the beginning of the service, asking you to bless every aspect of this service. We prayed specifically at that time where we collect tithes and offerings so that you will use money to do amazing things in this world. And now we come before you and we pray right now at the opening of the Word of God, recognizing what you have said in Scripture, that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it forth. We recognize today you are going to bless this word in our hearts. And so I simply ask you, I repeat your promise back to you, and I ask you to do what you said you would do, and we know you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thinking about your body, the various parts, organs of a body, it helps you answer a couple of vitally important questions about the church. First of all, what does it mean to be a member of a church? Now, I'm not talking about, by the way, I need to pull back from that for a moment. I'm not talking about somebody who comes to a church from time to time. I'm not talking about somebody who even attends a church regularly. I'm talking about somebody who has crossed across a line and has said, I am going to make this my place of ministry involvement and service by joining this local assembly. That's what I talk about when I'm talking about being a member of church. Two very vitally important questions. First of all, what does it mean to be a member of the church? And second, why is being a member of a church different from being a member of any other institution across the globe? And we've got a lot of them. Well, if you understand why membership matters, and every member matters, to do that, you're going to need to see the church as a body and each individual member as a vital organ in that body. In fact, that is exactly what we are told in Romans 12:5, where it says, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. When you talk to people today about membership, they think about all sorts of things. They think about paying dues, secret rituals, having your name on some invisible roll that nobody ever sees. But Paul had a very different picture of membership in a church. To Paul, being a member was the same thing as being a vital organ in a functioning body. And until we understand that, we will never understand and grasp this understanding of membership. The church is a body, not primarily a building. In order for organs in the body to fulfill their purpose, they have to be connected to the body. For the body to be healthy, all of the individual organs and limbs have to be doing their God-designed and God-ordained functions. Any vital organ that is detached from the body will not only fail to perform its function, but it will also die. The same thing is true for Christians who refuse to become a member of the church. Sometimes I've had the opportunity on occasion to share my faith with people, and during the course of that witnessing experience, heard them say, "That's a personal matter between me and the Lord." Well, they're kind of half right on that. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. That is absolutely true. But it was never, ever meant to be private. It's something that's meant to be shared. The church is a body, and every member needs to be connected to the body. The church is a family, and every family member needs to be a functioning member of the family. One of the greatest problems we face in the church today is meaningless membership. If you look at Barna is a famous church researcher. They research religion in America. Barna says that today in America, 1 in 7 people will look for a new church this year. And he also says that 1 in 6 people will start a new phenomenon that we have seen probably in about the past decade of people who attend 2 or more churches just kind of on a rotating basis back and forth. Some people call them church hoppers. I call them bunny believers because they hop from one church to another, you know, kind of like that. Now, let's be honest though, when you think about that. The reason they hop from one church to another is because there's nothing about what they experience in that assembly that leads them to believe my membership is meaningful. Five Forks Baptist Church is going to do everything that we can do to ensure that every member matters. Now, that entails a process. That's why we have an assimilation strategy. It is a never-ending process that we began. We actually began it when I came here to make sure that we produce meaningful members. Seven different steps in the process, but it falls into four different categories. First category is awareness. Somebody gets on our radar, in other words. That's a stage where we make people aware of the church. We hopefully invite them to come to the church. We're going to be creating a culture of inviting here at Five Forks Baptist Church, and I encourage you to get involved in that. Second one, though, is attendance. They then come to the church. People outside the church come into the church to see what the church is all about. And so when that happens, we need to make sure we're ready for those folks. Third thing is activation. And we utilize a tool for this called My Next. And some of you have been invited to a My Next class. Some of you have attended a My Next class, where you come and you move people from being just attenders to becoming members. And then finally, assimilation. Assimilation happens where somebody not only becomes a member, but they get involved in a Bible study group, which we call Sunday school, and they also get involved in a meaningful ministry in the church. So we develop and disciple people to understand maturity, ministry, and mission. But in order for all of that to happen, there are three questions. You've got them in your notes page right here. You just have some blanks where they're going to be filled out. And these are questions that everybody ought to feel free to ask, and we ought to be able to have an answer for. So question number one, why should I be a member of the church? What's the point? Why should I be a member? Almost every time the word church is used in the Bible, it refers to a local, visible, single congregation. We talk some about what's called the universal church. It's that body of believers who are all across the globe. It is the fact that I am a brother in Christ of believers who are meeting in Nigeria. I am a brother in Christ of believers who are meeting in Ukraine and meeting in Japan and meeting all across the globe right now. We're brothers and sisters in Christ because we know Jesus, the universal church. But almost every single place the church is mentioned in the Bible, it refers to a local, visible, single congregation. The New Testament always assumes membership in a local church. The Bible says a Christian is not a member of the church if they are functioning outside of that church. A Christian who's not a member of the church is like an organ kind of without a body, a sheep without a flock, a child without a family. What does the Bible say? Ephesians 2, 19, it says, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. So there's a reason why the scripture says in our text, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings. God knew there would be tremendous benefits to you being a member of the church. You know, sometimes we look at that. We look at scriptural commands where the writer of Hebrews says, don't stay away from the worship meetings. And we say, oh, he's getting on people. Okay, he's getting on people the way your parents used to say, eat your vegetables. All right? They recognize something valuable will take place if you do that. That there's a reason involved in that. The writer of Hebrews recognizes there's value in coming in and plugging in to those worship meetings. What kind of value? I see at least three things. First of all, there are physical benefits to being a member of a church. I got a study from Indiana's Purdue University. It was published in the Journal for Scientific Study of Religion. They studied people who joined a church, attended regularly, and got involved. Okay, so those are those three things that we call everybody to do, that we call everybody to become a member of a local church, then we call them to be plugged into a Sunday school class, and we call them to be involved in a meaningful ministry. Those three different things. And here's what they found about those people. They get sick much less often than people who do not do those things. In fact, it was found that non-church members who never attended church or participated were twice as likely to report health problems as those who were members. God knew what he was talking about when he says, don't stay away from the worship meetings. I saw this online this week. I have no idea how scientific this is, but it makes sense to me. It says, don't ride in automobiles. They cause 20% of all fatal accidents. Don't stay home. 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Do not walk on the streets or sidewalks. 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Do not travel by air, rail, or water. 16% of all accidents happen only by these types of transportation. But only 0.001% of every fatal accident that occurs in the worship service of a church. And those are related to previous physical disorders. So the safest place for you to be at any time is worshiping with God's people in a worship service. Maybe we should change our tagline, come to church, it might just save your life. There are physical benefits to being a part of the church. There are also emotional benefits. You'll not only be healthier, you'll be happier. Connecticut Mutual Life Insurance Company compared people who had joined a church, were actively involved, prayed, read their Bibles. They compared them to people in America who did not attend church and were not religious. They discovered this. Church members are twice as likely to say that their home is happy. Church members are almost twice as likely to believe that their work contributes to society. Church members are more than twice as likely to reconcile marital problems rather than divorce. Church members are six times more likely to do community volunteer work. There are tremendous emotional benefits to being a member of a local church. But then there are also spiritual benefits to being a member of a local church. Identity. Just like a uniform identifies a police officer, identifies a soldier, church membership identifies you as a believer. It helps people know that. But also maturity. We grow best when we grow together. And the church provides you with a place where you can mature your faith and grow it. Ephesians 4:16 says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Ministry. The church gives you a place to use the spiritual gift that God has given to you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you have a spiritual gift. When I was younger growing up, there were kids who were in a program that they used to call a gifted program. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, congratulations, you're gifted. You are one of those people because he gives a spiritual gift to every single person who knows Jesus. And you can put it to work. It says a spiritual gift is given to each one of us in 1 Corinthians 12:7 as a means of helping the entire church. Authority is another reason, a spiritual benefit. Every church member needs to be under the authority of a pastor. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say, for they watch for your souls, is what Hebrews 13 says. When Five Forks Baptist Church brought me here, and when God brought me here, he brought me here and you brought me here to lead this church. 9 different times in my job description, the word lead or leading is used. You brought me here for that purpose, and it's not something I shy away from, but it is something that I am compelled by in Hebrews 13, where Scripture tells me one day I will stand not before each and every one of you, but one day I will stand before the God of the universe, and I will give an account for how I have pastored Five Forks Baptist Church. I don't have to give an account for First Baptist Simpsonville. I don't have to give an account for Rocky Creek. I don't have to give an account for anybody else's church except the one that I pastor. And that thought simultaneously pushes me and terrifies me, because I will stand before a holy God and give an account for how I ministered to you. There's an authority that's involved and a spiritual benefit in being a member of a local church. And also accountability. Hebrews chapter 3 says, "But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Mind your own business is not really a Christian phrase. Not in that sense, anyway. There are times in Scripture where it says to do your own work, but in reality, we are to look out after each other. And that's something that only a church can provide. Why should I be a member of the church? There are different benefits to being a member of a church. Second thing, though, what should I become as a member of the church? What should I become as a member of the church? That's a great question. At Five Forks, we have requirements for membership, because membership matters and we want every member to matter. In order to become a member at Five Forks, you have to express a personal profession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to be baptized by immersion in water after salvation in obedience to the New Testament as a symbol of your faith. You need to be in agreement with our church covenant and doctrinal statement. And you need to be received by this assembly. The reason we have requirements at all is this: the difference between being a church attender and a church member is that commitment. Attenders do not have that commitment that members do. Members get involved. Members are contributors. The Christian life is more than just commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is commitment to other believers as well. You become a Christian by committing yourself to Christ, but you become a church member by committing yourself to another body of believers in the church. Hebrews 10:24 tells us basically what we ought to be doing. It says, "Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's interesting to note there that the emphasis on being a church member is not about what you get. It's not about all your benefits. It's about what you can give to other people. We're told here of a ministry that every member of the church has. Now, we all have different spiritual gifts, but there is one thing that every person in this room who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior can do this and ought to be continuously doing, and that is the ministry of encouragement. You don't need a college degree. You don't need a seminary education. You don't need money. You don't need to be a certain age to be an encouragement. Every church member needs to give encouragement. Every church member needs to receive encouragement. We're to encourage each other. We're told to love and good works. See, when I get together with you and I see you loving Jesus, that helps me love Jesus too. When I get together with you and I see you serving, that helps me serve too and propels me on to serve more as well. Now, how do we do that? What's the best way in the church for you to encourage each other? Now, you can do it before and after these service times in this large group body. We can do that. But there's another really neat time that we have where you can do that. The best way you can do that at Five Forks Baptist Church is through Sunday school. See, the body of Christ is just like your own physical body. It's just a collection of all sorts of small cells. That's why every member at Five Forks Baptist Church needs to be involved in, I guess, what you would call a cell group, a Sunday school class, a Bible study group made up of people in their own special interests or their own age range or setting in life, or just groups of people who like being together. See, one of the biggest fears that members have or that people have in a growing church is how to maintain that small church feeling. How do you maintain a feeling of a small church as your church continues to grow? Now, let me tell you this. I absolutely want Five Forks Baptist Church to grow. You say, how big is it going to get before it's too big? I don't know, but I'm not going to do anything to make it shrink, okay? We're going to continue to grow what God is doing here. However, a successful church has to get both larger and smaller at the same time for it to function effectively. If you have small group environments where you are getting that ministry of encouragement, you're going to be a more effective believer. In fact, I want to go further, and I want to say this to you. You will never, ever give to Five Forks Baptist Church what you ought to give, or you will never get from Five Forks Baptist Church what you ought to get if you are not a member of our Sunday school. It's part of being a member here, and it's how we continue to grow and become all God wants us to be. Why should I be a member of the church? What should I become as a member of the church? Third question, where should I belong as a member of a church? Maybe you're here today and you've been looking for a church. You've kind of been scoping things out. You've been trying us out. We've been trying you out and sort of getting to know you, and you're getting to know us. You say, where should I belong as a member of a church? You're asking yourself that question. I'm going to summarize really briefly four different things. You see down at the bottom of your notes page, there are some blanks. Four different things to look for when you are joining a church. This is a checklist for you. First of all, the word. I mean by that, above everything else, you should find a church where the Word of God is preached every single week. Where the person who stands up here is not just telling you what other people say, is not just telling you what psychiatrists or sociologists say, but is telling you what God's Word says. No matter what else a church does or how well a church does it, you will spiritually starve to death apart from the Word of God. Foundationally, look for a church that teaches the word. Second thing, look for worship. Find a church where the worship is uplifting, inspiring, motivating, centered on Jesus Christ, and directed to the praise of God. You say, what kind of style? Well, we actually covered that a few weeks ago when we talked about worship. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that message, because remember what we said, if God's called you somewhere, then the style of worship that that place has ought to be very important if you're the person being worshiped. If you're not the person being worshiped, then it shouldn't be as important as we have relegated it in American society. The word. Worship. Third thing, witness. Find a church that understands and believes that the church's primary mission is the Great Commission. A church that is unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A church that is unashamed to tell people in every single service, here is how you can become a believer in Jesus, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. And fourth, your work. Find a church where you could get enthusiastically involved, where you can put your spiritual gift to work in the service of that body because you believe that God is doing something through that body to change the world outside that campus. When you find a church that meets all four of those characteristics, then you're going to find this as well. When you come to that house of God and fellowship with the people of God and sing the songs of God and hear the word of God and experience the glory of God, you cannot help but be drawn closer to God as a result. If you ever doubt whether or not every member matters, Remember this. I heard a story about four people. These four people were a part of the church. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. The church needed help meeting its financial obligations. Everybody was asked to participate. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but you know who did it? Nobody. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Church grounds need some work. Somebody's asked to help. Somebody resented it because anybody could have done it just as well. After all, it was really everybody's job, but in the end, the work was given to nobody, and nobody got it done. The process goes on and on. Whatever the job it is that needs to be done, nobody was the one who did it. Nobody followed up on people. Nobody gave liberally. Nobody shared his faith. Nobody was a very faithful member. Finally, the day came when somebody left the church and took anybody and everybody with him. And who was left? Nobody. Folks, the truth is, everybody needs somebody. Nobody doesn't need anybody. Every member does matter. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Some of you have been attending this church for years, maybe months, and you've not stepped across that line. You're still dating. It's time to get married. It's time to say, yes, I want to be a part of this ministry assembly. I want to be a part of what God is doing here. You need membership in the church, and the church needs your membership. But by the way, before you become a member of the visible church, you had better make sure you are a member of the invisible church. That means that you have understood that you are a sinner, and on your own, you can do nothing to make yourself right before a holy God. It means that you understand that the Lord Jesus, in his wonderful love and mercy, left the glory of heaven and came to this planet to live a perfect life and die a death that sinners deserve. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose again. We'll celebrate that April 12th on Easter Sunday. And that by placing your faith and trust in Jesus, that he can give you what you do not deserve and could not even dare imagine, heaven. You need to trust that free gift today. Make sure before you're a member of the visible church, you're a member of the invisible church. Being a member of the visible church gets your name on a church roll. Being a member of the invisible church is what gets you to heaven. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me take a moment and pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity today to see something of profound importance for our lives. Every time we open your word, we are just impacted with what you have called us to be and to do. Now, Lord, this is the time of invitation. This is the time where we say, we're ready to be a part of what you want us to do. This is where we get to respond to how you are at work in our lives. Lord, I pray that you will give courage and wisdom to the people of this church at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you stand up, we're going to have a time. This time's called the invitation. That's exactly what it is, just like you get an invitation in the mail to go to a party or something like that. This is your invitation to respond to what God has just done in your life. You've sat in those pews, you've opened up the Word of God, you've turned it on your tablet or on your smartphone. You've interacted with what God has said for you to do today. And now, you have the opportunity to do it. You have the opportunity to respond to what God wants to do. Some of you here today need to come today and say, yes, I want to make Five Forks Baptist Church my place of ministry involvement. I want to join this church. You need to just come forward and take care of that today. Some of you, before you become that member of the visible church, you've never become a member of the invisible church. You need to say, you know what? I need to come to Jesus today. God didn't bring you here by accident. You came here on purpose to hear what you heard, and now you can respond to it and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. You don't have to worry about what to say. We've got people who can help you with that. It would be our privilege to lead you to faith and trust in Jesus today. Maybe you say, you know what, I'd like to join, but I haven't done that second thing you talked about. I haven't been baptized by immersion in water after salvation. We can schedule that, okay? We can talk with you about that. Just come on and say, yes, I'd like to join, but I need to be baptized. And we'll schedule it. We'll get your family here. It'll be a wonderful, meaningful experience. Invite your friends. They'll hear the gospel. It'll be a wonderful time for everybody. Maybe there's a need in your life that I haven't even touched on right now. Maybe you came into this place burdened incredibly about something. Maybe you just want to come and pray today. Whatever that need is in your life, whatever God is doing, we're going to sing a song. And when we sing that song, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, make your way into one of these four aisles, come down to the front, and just share with us what's on your heart. And it would be our privilege to help. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing.